everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of the MobileCast. We're coming to you live from Mobile World Congress here in Barcelona, Spain. And I'm really excited that I get to sit down with Carolina Milanese from Kantar Worldwide Panel. Say hello.
Good morning, everyone.
Now, you're a little bit different because you're actually from Europe.
I am.
So we're going to get a little bit different viewpoint, but you actually got a chance to sit through a couple of the sessions yesterday, which were, so this is day one, yesterday was day zero, which is mostly, so on day zero, it's a lot of the announcements from the consumer company. So I know you said you got to see both Huawei and Samsung. First of all, what's it like being back in Barcelona another year for MWC?
Oh God, I lost track. I started back when we were still in Nice and Cannes. You know, the hotel was in Nice, and then you were commuting to Cannes because otherwise you couldn't get a place to stay. It's strange because every year you think a little bit more that Mobile World Congress is losing relevance because mobile has become everything. So why do I have to have a mobile conference? But in reality, you come here and yesterday on day zero, we were at Huawei and actually there wasn't a phone. We were talking about a two-in-one. How about that? A phone company that gets into the PC business, right?
And so that's interesting. It's the only one that got announced yesterday. Between them and, you know, HP announced their new Windows Phone, which in itself is, people are talking about Windows Phone dying, and you have the Windows Phone continuum that they're looking at. But you went to Huawei, and you get to see a two-in-one. What do you think?
I think that you're so pressured now as a smartphone vendor to find something else to do. You know, we have actually a white paper going out tomorrow morning talking about the saturation in mature markets and how the vendors need to find a different way to milk that cow, you know, even by doing all the accessories as we've seen from other vendors or starting new areas. Wearables is going to take a while to take off. And so, you know, with Intel and Microsoft really betting on this new segment, I think it's not a bad thing to do for Huawei to think about the two-in-one as a way to go. Tablets are not really making consumer very excited. So two-in-one is what the big guys are hoping will get the market going from a PC perspective.
And do you see that more as a consumer play or as an enterprise play?
So it was interesting because yesterday they were definitely talking about, you know, what Gartner used to call a prosumer, you know, the professional user. It's going to be hard for Huawei to get into the right channel for business. So I see this more as a kind of a higher end of a consumer. But you looked at a device that they call the Mate Book, and it looked very much like a Surface. And it was priced not actually that much cheaper than a Surface, starting at $800 for a brand that is associated very often as good value for money. A brand that has grown in the consumer space for sure for smartphones, but a brand that has no cachet when it comes to PC. So a hard play for them.
Okay, so, and you already said, tablets are tough. I mean, to be fair, iPads are falling in, you know, percentage. I think more of that's based upon the fact that they're lasting longer than people expected.
Absolutely. The life cycles of the tablets have surprised everybody. And it's not just that. If you have a tablet, you might buy a new one, but your old one doesn't go in a drawer. It goes to your spouse, your kids, to a friend. And that's the problem, that you have that long life and an install base that is growing, but is growing not necessarily with new devices, but older devices that stay in the market for longer.
Brings a new perspective to the term long tail.
Absolutely.
What else did you see from Huawei?
That was it yesterday. The whole show was around the two-in-one with a lot of attention to detail on their side. So it came with a pen, and it came with a docking station, and it came with a case. And, of course, it came in different colors, including rose gold. So it was really a hard try to differentiate their offering and make it look high-end, that's for sure. But, you know, no mention of the phone, not even once.
So Microsoft was on stage, Intel was on stage. So we expect to see this in the Microsoft store competing with the Surface?
I don't know that it is going to be you know, the channel is going to be difficult for them because they have been partnering with the carriers, especially here in Europe, quite well, you know, trying to get some shelf space in Best Buy. It's not going to be easy. But in Europe, where the brand has been doing very well, and for smartphone, they're the number two here in Spain and in Italy is another market where they're doing well. We might see them next to a Surface or, you know, anything else that Dell, HP, Asus, and all the, you know, PC vendors are going to start putting out.
And you, so you went from Huawei, you then went to Samsung.
Yes.
And Samsung, as always, was a production.
Yes, as always. The line was amazing to get in.
And you got in, and there have been a lot of pictures tweeted about it, but, you know, describe what you saw. You know, you got in, and every, you know, there's something like 10,000 seats, and they all had something on them.
Yeah, all the seats had a Gear VR hooked up, and with apparently somebody told me that inside there were Korean versions of the 6. That power the VR, and we got to live the dream. You know, they did a promo video of the new phones, the 7 and 7 Edge, with the VR, and I think the kind of a cherry on the cake was Facebook Mark Zuckerberg showing up and be the new BFF for Samsung, really pushing that relationship with Oculus and Gear VR, and showing the world that VR is not going to be niche.
Well, and my favorite picture of that is everybody's got their Gear VR headset on, and Zuckerberg just walks down the aisle and nobody sees him until he's on stage.
And then everybody went crazy running to the stage to actually take a picture of him. It was quite surreal, actually. And the best comment that I've seen of that picture was somebody saying that's like, here's the king with the army of minions ready to conquer the world.
Well, you know, so you're bringing up minions, but, you know, one thing I worry about when I look at VR, you know, if you look at people you mentioned in our pre-talk of, people have been missed the moment because they're trying to take a picture and everything else. And there are pictures of a sea of thousands of people wearing a Gear VR yesterday. And the only thing that's in my head is Wally, the people on the cruise, on the space cruise ship. And, you know, we get fatter, dumber, and stuck to our chairs.
It is definitely a concern. It was interesting this morning as we were chatting before we started this that Sony was talking about not missing the moment. And I, you know, I sent a tweet out saying, well, you know, vendors have been getting us addicted over these years to our smartphone, and now we're trying to detox to then get ready for VR, where I'm not living the life anymore. I'm experiencing something else. And from a social perspective, it is a concern. But I think there are a lot of instances, both from a consumer perspective and an enterprise perspective, that I think are enriching the moment. I think the problem I have and the concern I have is that as human being, we're not very good at balancing things, right? So it's going to be too much of a good thing.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you were at Samsung, and they didn't announce a new Gear, a new watch, correct?
No, correct.
So, but you know, you're wearing an Apple Watch. I'm seeing people with, you know, either a fitness band or watch on here, and yet we're talking about something where you are going to be sitting down with something strapped to your face, and you know.
Yeah, watching people that do stuff.
Now, you were talking about the fact of, you know, living in the moment and all, and, you know, talk a little bit more about that with, you know, Sony's vision of, I think you said, first steps. And
yeah, this morning they announced the Xperia Ear, the Xperia Eye, and then they had a projector. And the eye is still a concept, and, you know, sometimes with concepts you don't know if they're ever going to make it in any stores, but is, you know, that camera that is always with you and is your extra eye, so to speak. The earbud is, they talked about it in kind of a more of an assistant, and they said, oh, it has an accelerometer and it has a proximity sensor. But people like Plantronics have had that for years. You know, the you pick up the headset from Plantronics from the table and it knows it's on your ear, so your calls get divert it to your headset. You don't wear it. It does not. Your phone ring. So we've been there before. I think it needs a bit more.
And you have the Moto
more.
Hint that, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that didn't really go anywhere. I think, you know, Bluetooth was something that took a while for people to love because you looked like somebody who just walked out of Star Trek. And then we embraced and then we moved on from it. And now you see a lot of people just wearing wire headset or the big stereo headset. So it's kind of interesting, and I think is a hard balance because although it's small, it still sits outside your ear. It still is a foreign, you know, object that is not quite sitting nicely. So it'd be interesting. And price, I'm sure it's not going to be particularly cheap either.
Well, it is Sony.
Exactly.
So let's get back to Samsung. You know, you wore the VR. You got to see the new phones. What did you think?
In general, so the phones, I think, is a quick analysis. There's a lot of stuff that they took away from the 6, but now it's back, like removable storage. They made improvements, you know, spill-proof and dust-proof. Probably the most important thing for consumer, the camera and the enhancement that they made to autofocus and low-light conditions really stepped up there with a nice experience. But reality is that people who bought a 6 last year, I think they'd be hard-pushed to actually justify an upgrade unless they went for pre-orders where they get a free VR thrown into it for them. But if you have a 5 and below, it's a no-brainer upgrade.
Yeah. And I saw somebody tweet yesterday that this is Samsung's play to get, you know, to trend their value high, their, you know, their bottom line higher in the mobile. And I'm sort of looking at it going, I think that ship's already sailed on the high end.
Yeah, the high end is extremely, extremely saturated. And it's a question now of really having to get customers from your competitors. So Samsung is looking at Apple, Apple is looking at Samsung, and there's not much more there to give. I think what was interesting for me yesterday beyond the phones is more that I saw almost like, you know, Samsung 2.0. It's where they want to go. They jumped on VR very early. They're way ahead of the curve. And with a partnership with Facebook, I think they can really own that space. And that what matters to them.
And so it sort of becomes the poor man's Oculus. I mean, they're partnered with Oculus. It's Oculus technology that's in it. So it's if you're not going to buy the Oculus Rift with the PC, here, buy saying, you know, if you already have a Samsung phone.
Yeah, and Zuckerberg made that very, very clear yesterday. He talked about how he wants to have millions of people with a Gear VR in their hand.
So does this mean that the big thing is going to be 360-degree cameras?
It looks that way this year. You know, Samsung has that. And again, it was really focused at, you know, getting moments of, you know, your Christmas dinner party or, you know, things that are close to your heart, which is a smart play because, you know, if you start to play with the emotional side, you're going to conquer more people than not if you try and get them to buy something to do then bungee jumping. But, you know, you had LG with a similar offering. I think this is the core because you need content for VR. It can't just be about gaming.
So do people start either wearing these cameras to replace a GoPro, or has this become the type of thing of, I put a camera in 2 or 3 rooms of my house because this is where my kids are, or during an event I throw a camera on a table that does 360.
It seems more of a latter than not the GoPro. I wear it everywhere because if you take the Samsung one, it's really, you know, it has a little tripod and you hold it in your hand and it's not really for a lot of motion. They did a video experience yesterday of people playing football, but the person who was holding the camera was just recording, wasn't really moving. So it is a different kind of experience compared to the GoPro.
What else do you expect to see at the show this week?
A lot of IoT. It was interesting. Some of the things that I was looking on my Twitter feed this morning, as my taxi took an hour and a half to get here, where IoT and Nokia big funding for IoT. They raised $350 million. I think it was dollars, not euros, for IoT.
IoT fund.
And so that really a big play. I'm curious to see what Lewis Hamilton has to say about driverless cars, given that he's going to be here and I think talking has a keynote tomorrow. But generally, is my impression of Mobile World Congress every year compared to CES is this is the grown-up show. This is, you know, you go to CES to see the cool things and have fun. You come here to do business. And it really still feels very much that way.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. And it was wonderful to meet you. And I know we're going to be talking some more in the future.
It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, we'll be coming through with a few more of these from Mobile World Congress over the next couple of days.